Parenting's hard, you don't know what to do. You're blaming your kids, but it's probably you. You love your kids and that you can trust. Just remember your kids don't suck.
Welcome to Your Kids Don't Suck, cultivating closeness with your children through non-coercive conscious parenting. We're your hosts, Kara Tedstone and Rathia Lee. Let's dive in and grow together.
So I coach all these parents and, you know, I have my support groups, and what I hear over and over again is people are isolated, so they don't have support. And then also a lot of people don't know what it looks like to process triggers. Like, they just really have no idea. They haven't been into therapy, or that's not what they learned in therapy. And we don't have a world where that's taught. We're not taught it in schools. You know, people don't know what it means to track a pain into the past and see how it's affecting your present. So I'm having a hard time. So I thought maybe I should just have a process on air,
mm-hmm.
like we did before, because the one that I did where I tracked my bedtime triggers, I've gotten so much feedback that was incredibly helpful for people.
Yeah.
Anyway, and I don't know what this particular trigger I'm in right now has to do with parenting, but maybe it'll become clear.
Yeah.
In a way, anything we're triggered about is related to parenting.
Yeah, that's exactly it. I think we should jump into it.
We should just do it.
I think so.
All right. So, I don't know what kind of, I have so many different ways that I process. I'm not sure how I'll do this. Like, maybe I'll just tell you the trigger first.
Well, I was going to ask you, like, what is going on?
Okay. So I'm going to try to make a long story short. I'm part of this rather huge dance community where I live.
Mm.
Like, there's dance events, like, almost every day. I do this form called contact improvisation, but there's also ecstatic dance, and there's all these kind of somatic classes and somatic events. It's like huge in my area. It's amazing. And so there's a thread on WhatsApp that has like 300 people where people list all the events. And there was an event that was for women only. And then the languaging on the event was very transphobic. And my friend was like, who has two trans kids, was like really confronting them for like weeks, if not months. And they were just not open to her input at all. So when they posted the event on the thread, I said, hey, everyone, like, make sure you read the language for this event because it's transphobic. I think I also said, hey, to the organizer, like I said to the person, hey, so-and-so, I want to make sure people know about the language that you used for this before mm-hmm. they attend it because it's transphobic. And then like it's like a ton of conflict, like a ton of like really explosive conflict, like lots of people posting. What was really, really beautiful is like lots of trans, non-binary, and queer people posted all this education about language and transphobia and the history. Like, it was amazing. I learned so much. But there was also lots and lots of people who went into this huge level of defense and attack, including, you know, really judging me, like Rathia and Samantha, my best friend. You two are like trying to get status through this and trying to have power, and you're being superior. I don't know, lots of posts to it. People like, we publicly ask you to apologize and stuff like that. So I got off the thread because it was just stop being fun. And also a lot of the trans, non-binary, and queer community got off the thread. They were like, this is terrible, you know? And anyway, I was doing such a good job holding myself. Like, I was like, you know what? When people are triggered by me, that's okay. Like, that's their stuff. Because also I was really scared of posting my stuff on YouTube because I was scared of getting attacked. And I have gotten attacked, and it's fine. I'm doing fine with it. I thought it was going to really upset me, but it hasn't.
Hmm.
Just been like, oh, okay, people are having really big feelings, you know, every now and then I have to delete something, but mostly it's just like, yeah, people get triggered by being called out about childism, like, they don't like that, okay, that's fine, this is my mission.
Mm-hmm.
Which is surprising, Kara, because I really thought it would be very hard for me, and it's mm-hmm. not. Anyway, I have a friend that I ended up in a really heated conversation with, and I just, it's all about kind of activism. Like, it was kind of me saying, why don't you take a stand? Why don't you speak up around things? I've been fighting about something else related to my community for an entire year about something. It's like, you know, you were upset about this too. Why couldn't you have joined me? You know, why couldn't you have put your name on it? Like, oh, this makes me want to cry. You know, and it just ends up being related to Palestine and people on different sides of an issue, and also people who are on the same side of the issue but won't take a stand, you know. Yeah. Like, yeah. And just becoming in touch with this part of me that is such an activist, like, yep. is such an activist and like a warrior fighter, you know, that's who I am.
I have to interrupt you to tell you that I've had this same conversation with my therapist, and we have a part, I have a part that is that we call the activist, because really? I am just laughing right now in my head thinking about how deeply I relate to what you're saying.
This is good that we're talking about this, because activism is such a big part of non-coercive collaborative.
Yes.
Parenting, it's the base, it's like one of the base roots of starting with children, right?
And we're talking about humanity too. That's what I said to my therapist recently. She was saying, you know, what is giving you such grief about the same sorts of feelings of feeling like people aren't joining me? There's also, like, we were talking about clients having to leave because they're moving or whatever, and I can't work with them anymore. And we were talking about grief, and she was like, what does that bring up for you? And I'm like, you know, when clients have to move for clients have to switch out of therapy for logistical reasons, like, I can't work with them because they're in a different state that they're moving to. I find that red tape so frustrating, because what we're talking about is humanity. Like, I have a real connection with this person who I've been supporting for years. Maybe they're moving to another place. I can no longer work with them, but we both want to continue working together. And I started to cry. And we were talking about how so much of this work that we do in relational psychotherapy, in non-coercive parenting, being child advocates, like, it's work. It's working with human beings, talking about humanity. And when people don't join you in that, or there's a barrier, you know what I'm saying? Like, metaphorically speaking, like, this client leaving me because of these barriers, because of this system that is like a barrier to me staying connected.
Yeah.
I find it so, there's so much grief. I have so much grief about that. I have so much sadness, and it's painful for me.
I understand.
Yeah.
Do you grieve? Like, do you cry? Like,
oh, I cry so much. Yeah.
I'm feeling like stuck. Yeah, I wish I could just cry, but like, I think I'm hating myself somewhere in here. That's why I want your help. Yeah, like, I'm feeling some tears because, yeah, I'm also becoming aware of some of my friends who like don't take a stand, and it's so triggering for me.
Yeah.
And what, you know, I love them and I love them and they're close in my life, you know, but like, it makes me not respect them. And that's so painful.
Yeah.
But also, so what's old about it for me. So I was talking to this friend and we were just getting into it. Like, she was like, well, I don't have time to join on every issue, and all of her reasons why she can't take a stand. I don't even know if I agree with you. I don't know what I think. And I'm like, I've been working on this for a year and talking about it for a year, and you still don't know what you think? You still don't know what you think?
Mm-hmm.
What? Like, that's a privilege. That's a privilege that you don't know what you think about these intense issues that affect our actual community every single day. You don't know what you think? Anyway, so it's about my mother. And it's so like, when I'm like, okay, if I have to work early and talk about my mother, I immediately feel a wall of shame, because talking about my history is so gross and fraught and like traumatizing for people. Like, there's nothing garden variety about it. So I can't be like, you know, and then my parents fought, and that really was hard for me. I mean, it's like, there's nothing like, now if I talk about it, we're going to have to get really heavy. Is that, will you tell me, is that okay or what?
It's okay with me if it's okay with you.
Okay, let me just tune in for a second. Yeah, I think I can talk about it in kind of general terms. And I think I can find a way to talk about it that feels safe for me. Like, the position I have with my mother, like, my parts, is they hate her. And they just kind of blot her out most of the time. It's just like, fuck that bitch, you know? And it's really hard when I actually have a lot of other feelings that are trying to come up and other parts. But like I'll just say with my friend on the phone, it's like I love her and I'm fighting for her to be more conscious and she's fighting back. Okay. So then I have to admit that my mother did have some little parts of her that were trying to be conscious. She really did try at times. And what I remember is my mother, I have memories of my mother sitting on my bed when I was about, I guess, my daughter's age, like 12. I remember she came and sat in my room and she said something like, I think about leaving your dad. And he told me that if I ever tried to leave him, he would take you kids away from me and I would never see any of you again. So I can't leave him. And I'd be like, okay. Then she'd say, I'm thinking about killing myself. She would, my mother would just tell me a bunch of inappropriate shit, but she was also letting me know, like on some level, she knew something was wrong because she never showed that. So she would tell me this, and I think it would give me hope. And it would also be like, oh my God, somewhere my mother knows this situation is very bad, so much that she wants to kill herself, so much that she's thinking of leaving him. She would tell me the same story over and over again about how when we were little kids, she went to work. And while I was at work, she packed up her whole car and she put the kids in the car and she called her mother and said, I'm coming, bringing the kids. I'm leaving my husband. And when she got to her mom's house, my dad was there.
Oh my God.
And her mother had called him. Her mother called him.
Oh my God, I could cry.
Yeah, she told me that story over and over again to sort of let me know, like, I tried and it was impossible.
Oh, there's so many layers to how painful that is.
Yeah, I know. She sounds like a half decent person in these stories, but she really wasn't. So it's very confusing. Anyway, what would happen was I would refer to the conversation that we'd had, and she would say, I never said that. This is something she did a lot. She'd go, I never said that. What are you talking about? Like that. She would switch parts and not remember, or she just really didn't want me to ever bring it up, or I'm not really sure. And I've been having these talks with some of my friends and this person I talked to yesterday, and I felt her switching back and forth and saying, no, I don't believe that. And she would, like, things she had told me before that she was upset about, she'd say, I'm not upset about that. I wasn't upset about it. She was doing the thing my mother does. And it just set me over the edge, really set me over the edge. I went into hating myself. Like, that's what I don't understand. That's what I went into. Like, I'm crazy. I'm
Right,
crazy.
yeah.
That's what I must have done with my mom. I'm crazy. That obviously, what else could I possibly do? What else could I possibly do but think I was crazy?
Yeah, there's no other option when somebody doesn't let you in to they're blocking you from having your experience and from having your feelings about what the conversation was. They're going, "No, that's not what happened," or "No, that's not what I said. It's not a big deal. I don't know what you're talking about." So
Right.
then you're isolated to thinking, well, maybe it wasn't a big deal. Maybe I'm crazy. Maybe I'm making a huge deal about it. Maybe I always do this. Maybe I see everything totally wrong.
Oh my God, that's it. And then there's this incredible paranoia.
Yeah, oh my God, yes. But the only reason I can relate so deep, like I think summarize this is because I literally have the same experience all the time
You do?
as it relates to parenting specifically.
You feel like you're crazy?
Oh my God, all the time. Yeah.
You
All the
do?
time.
I
Yeah.
wow.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like I have to call you guys to you and Vivek to be like, guys, like remind me that like there's a reason for this because everybody in my life makes me feel like I'm wrong. I'm crazy. I'm thinking too deeply about it. It's not that serious.
Right, like just make a fucking boundary and shut the
Yeah,
fuck up.
just like, stop thinking about it. You need to let it go. Like, why are you thinking about parenting all the time and feelings. There's so much emphasis on feelings. It's like, it's who cares? It's a tantrum. Like kids have tantrums. Like let them tantrum and put them to bed and just forget about it.
Right. I don't want to go too off on this tangent, but I also have some friends that I'm pretty close with, and they like never ever process about their children ever.
Yeah.
And I'm like, That makes me feel crazy because
I'm
processing it all the damn time.
Yeah.
Oh, I feel so emotional. Oh, I feel so emotional. Okay, so can you help me help my part that thinks I'm crazy? Like, either the part that's telling me I'm crazy or the part that thinks I'm crazy. I don't know, like, I need to help these parts because I'm really stuck in thinking I'm crazy right now.
Why do you think you're crazy?
Well, there's these issues that I care about that seems like nobody else cares about. It's so scary. It's just really scary. It's so scary. It really reminds me of my childhood, you know? I'm part of this dance community. There's this place we go, and there's been increased nudity with the adults, and I've been fighting for them to have a policy around the nudity because there's children there. And nobody cares. People keep treating me like I'm crazy. People keep like totally gaslighting me and acting like I'm such a bummer and such a downer and nudity is so great for kids. And I'm like literally person after person after person. And the organization itself, I finally asked them if they could just send out a survey. All I wanted was a survey to the community to ask how do parents feel about nudity around their children.
Yeah.
And they just, they told me they would send it with this whole registration. And then they didn't even email me back. I wrote them and I said, I'm really, really disappointed that I spent a year on this and you said you were going to send it out and then you didn't. And they didn't even respond to my email. And this is like my community of 30 years, Kara. And I feel like I'm crazy. Like, am I crazy that I just don't think adults should be naked about children without their consent? No. Like, am I completely nuts? Have I lost my absolute mind?
My God, no.
I just feel so crazy. And I can't, like, I can't find an ally. Like, I keep trying to talk to people about it. And I don't know. Some people are like, yes, I totally agree with you, but I don't want to do anything about it and I don't want to put my name on it. So there's some people like that, but they just don't want to join me.
Yeah.
And then there's someone I talked to yesterday and she just kept waffling back and forth, like, you are absolutely right. And she'd be like, well, if it's kind of done, like people are just lounging around naked. And I'm like, well, what else would they be doing? I don't know. And then I'm a survivor. I'm a sexual abuse survivor. So for me, being a place where there's naked people just doesn't feel good to me because I want to choose it.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm there to dance and I'm not there to get triggered about my childhood sexual abuse. I'm not interested in that.
Yeah.
And then if you say you're a survivor, then people go, oh, well, she's a survivor. Her shit is up. She's a trauma survivor. Her trauma is getting in the way. She can't see clearly because she's so fucking triggered. That's what happens to survivors. Mm-hmm. And they get marginalized for having feelings about bad boundaries. And then it gets put on us. Like, this is just all gaslighting. Like, everything we're talking about right now is gaslighting.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Not having a choice is so, to me, that feels abusive in a way. Like, that's so disempowering to like go to your community and to not have a choice in how and what happens.
I know. I mean, but what's worse is that nobody gives a fuck. Yeah. They don't care that I've been there for 30 years. I've been doing this fucking like camp with the kids and the adults for like 30 fucking years. And it just has no weight. And I know most people want to say, and this is part of my pain, it's like, well, you shouldn't go. These people are fucking assholes. Fuck these people.
But like, that's not.
No, this is like my daughter's community.
Yeah.
This is where I take, like, this is when I like get filled up with love when I dance all day. It's like, it's the most joyful time of the year for me. And now I have to contend with this. So I feel a merged part. I call a merged part the part that's merged with my abusers, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I feel it saying, nobody cares. Shut the fuck up. Get over yourself, like what you were saying earlier. Like, you're just causing problems. Everyone thinks you're annoying. Yeah. Everyone thinks you're too intense.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone thinks you're a downer. Like, you're just bringing the vibe down. Shut the fuck up. And then there's my little girl in there who's like, ow, you know, ow. Like, stop hitting me. Stop yelling at me. It doesn't feel good to me. I want to have a voice. And then this other part's like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah. What does she want every other part to do for her?
Which one?
The little girl.
She wants me to, like, stop letting that merged part, like beat her up and tell her things that are not true.
And who's that? The one that's going to come in and help and protect her.
Right. Good.
Is that
good.
The activist?
Question.
Yeah.
I don't think it's the activist, because my activist is doing great. My activist is totally working hard. I think it's like more like the mother, like the loving mother would actually say to the part that's attacking me, hey, sweetheart, I don't need your help with this. I'm not crazy. I know you're trying to keep me safe by telling me I'm crazy, but I don't need you to do that job anymore right now. I don't. I know you're, oh, it's like there's a whole team of them now when I say that. It's like there's a big bunch of merged parts.
Yeah, they're joining.
Hey, you guys, I don't need your help with this. I don't need to think I'm crazy because I'm safe.
Yeah. But what do they say to that? Because
they're like, no, you're not safe.
So you're getting into, yeah, I was saying you're getting into battle, and maybe there's more of them than there's one mother part, and there's a bunch of other parts that are like fighting with that one part when you try to tell them, I'm good. You don't need to help with this. Are they coming back with?
They're really scared, even though they're merged parts.
Mm-hmm.
They're really scared that my daughter's not safe. That's suddenly it's coming to my daughter. Like, they're really scared that at this camp because.
So can we talk to them and get more maybe from them about what is they're scared about? Like, because there's a bunch of them, so they feel there needs to be strength in numbers. Maybe this is really scary, and they're there to protect something. And what is that?
Well, they're like, well, if these people don't care about you, your voice, your concerns, your boundaries, how is it safe for Tori? Like,
oh God, I could cry.
They're really scared that she's going to get abused, that she's going to get molested or something.
Yeah.
It's literally my worst fear. I'm sure you have that too.
Oh.
It's like my worst fear. I'm so scared. Like, what if I make a mistake and I take her, and like, I'm just so scared. I have to weigh out like the joy and the community with this fear right now, you know, because there's bad people everywhere. Okay. So I just want you to know that my guides, my spiritual guides, which is like my higher self, is the parts that know whether it's safe for me to go or not. Not these parts, which are working. I'm now not mad at these parts. I'm like, oh, of course you're telling me I'm crazy. Like, they're just trying to get me safe.
Yeah.
That's relief. That's relieving.
Do they feel threatened when you try to tell them that you're taking care of it and they don't need to do so much? I'm wondering about that struggle, like the, no, it's okay.
Well, they're like, we're not going to relax. We're not going to relax until you figure out if it's safe and you have a good game plan.
Right.
I did leave a message for my daughter's dad and a friend who are both going to be at this event. And I said, I need us to be a team. I really need help. I need us to track Tori together, the three of us. And there's a couple other people I can, you know, and like the kids all stay together.
Yeah.
So they have like usually like 6 to 10 kids. They all are together every single second. So like it's pretty safe that way, you know? I mean, I'm tracking them. They're all group. They're not alone with adults, you know? Like,
yeah.
So I'm starting to take some action. Anyway, so.
These protector parts, do they feel like they can back down at all?
They're saying if you talk to your guides and they have a good game plan, we'd be willing to back down.
Okay. So really what they wanted to be heard then? They wanted you to understand their mission?
They're really concerned about her safety. And unless I address that in a really good way that's satisfactory to them, they're not going to stop telling me I'm crazy.
Right. Wow. It makes so much sense.
It does?
I think so. I can so see why they were beating the hell out of you. They're trying to get you to see why they're doing that. They wanted...
Isn't that interesting? Because that's what children do also.
Exactly.
Right, children act out. That's what they do. They say, "Mom, you're a fucking bitch," or like, "Fuck you," or "I'm not doing it," or they throw everything down the stairs, or whatever. You know, they act out, and it looks like they're being asses, but they're trying to protect themselves and they're trying to get connection. It's like the same thing.
It is the same thing. That's why parts work is so beautiful, because if every part is a metaphor for a feeling or a memory, then and you can get to the message, then you can work with it. They do sound like this big protective army. They have this huge force around Tori. And they're like, we're not going to fucking let anything get past us. But we need you to listen. Don't argue with us. Like, hear what we have to say, maybe?
Yeah, and like so much of my mission on Earth is like to protect children. Like, that's why I'm here. Yeah. You know? Like,
me too. To help.
Yeah. So... I'm going to talk to my guidance now. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, guides. This is my, everyone, this is my higher self that I talk to about everything all the time. Like, I'm really confused. Is it safe for me to go to this event? I mean, it's only 4 days, but like, is it safe for Tori? Is it safe for me? Is it in my highest good? Is it in our highest good to go to an event where people are so fucking unconscious? Oh, is that like, is it just gone too far now? Like, it's actually not safe for me and loving for me to go? I mean, that's the question. I think it's safe for you to go and also check it out in real time and also be willing to leave, like to be like have a big talk with Tori. Like, if this isn't feeling good, we will pack up our shit and we will go. And like for you to like, you are so, honey, you're so alert. You're so awake. You're not going to go unconscious and miss something. You're so awake. And so is she. She's so awake. You're both very awake. And I think, you know, you're just going to have to feel it out and be ready to be like, no, actually, this doesn't feel good.
I wonder if you can check in with those parts that are, how do they feel about that?
They're like, that's pretty good. They're like, we need you to talk to Tori a lot more about it. About what your concerns are. You have to tell her what your concerns are. But, you know, the problem is Tori is very, very sensitive. So if I say to her, I'm a little nervous. I don't want you to be alone with any adults. She'd be like, I'm not fucking going. She's like, you know, like she found out that kids at school do drugs in the bathroom. And she was like, that's it. I'm not going to school.
Wow.
You know, I finally talked her through it and she's going to go to school. But like, she's very protective of her, you know, like, so if I said that, that would scare the absolute shit out of her. So I have to figure out a way to do it that's doesn't make it sound like adults are all scary. You know, I did say to her already, like, if anything doesn't feel good, come get me. Like, but I have to do more of that. I have to do a lot more of that.
That's what the parts are saying that would make them feel more at ease. That yes. She's involved. She's also equipped with some awareness around the concerns. Yeah.
And her dad, I'm going to talk to her dad more about it. And this other person who's a friend who's going to be there, who loves Tori, like loves and adores her, who grew up in this community. So it really knows it very, very well. Okay. That's feeling like, wow, I'm feeling some ease. Like I'm feeling some peace come over me right now.
Do you think you could describe that? I mean, I kind of know what you mean, but what is that like for people listening for you? That ease? Do you feel like they're taking a step back?
Like a trap around my head of like self-hatred. It feels like a trap, like if you think of like an animal trap, like a trap over my head of like, I fucking hate you. I feel like that's going away. And then I feel like energy in my heart. I feel like energy around my body and like some warm, like yellow and pink light in my heart area. Because I'm also realizing I do have the tools to protect my daughter. That's what's coming in. Like I do have that ability to protect her.
Yeah.
And we are so connected. She has also the ability to protect herself. And like, we can be a team. Especially since I don't punish her. Since I don't punish her and shame her and control her, we have such an open channel of communication. That's what this videos are about. As because I chose this path, I know she will tell me. I'm so lucky. And I couldn't do an event like this if we didn't have that. I wouldn't go. Like, I'd be like, no, like, if I'm scared my kid's going to sneak something or not tell me something, I would not fucking go to this event.
I think there's such a clear difference between, like, your energy right now, that you're back into your self energy. Those parts are now, they're there. They're, like, at the table with you, but you're all working towards the common goal. I feel like I can hear them now. Like, I can understand why they were being so harsh in their delivery, but they were trying to get you to see. And now you're all working together. Now you're all sitting there and you're like, we can all do this. We can all have a part.
This is kind of a new thing for me, that the mean parts are actually trying to help and, like, really listen to them. Like, it feels like a new frontier. Cause I usually say, everybody go to the moon or, like, go to safety, but I don't actually ask them what the fuck they need. Like, I don't, you know, I usually try to get them away.
It's been game changing for me in my own practice with clients, but also internally, like, when I can get my parts who are protectors or, well, we know the young kids in IFS language is like the exiles or whatever, but I don't even call them by names. I just picture them like you do. And they say what they need. And if I can give them what they need, I really feel this huge relief, like, so, so quickly after, because they're finally being heard. They're, like, trying to tell me in all these ways that are so hurtful. And I'm not really giving them permission to say what it is. I'm just hearing, like, I'm hearing their words, but I'm not hearing their message. I'm not open to learning what it is they're really trying to communicate, you know?
Right. So for people who are listening who are like, oh, don't know about parts work, you know, this book, this new book of Richard Schwartz is called No Bad Parts, is so wonderful. It's such a wonderful introduction to how to work with your parts. It's on Spotify too. You can listen to it.
Yeah.
And he actually talks you through meditations and exercises, and it's about how none of your parts are bad parts.
Yeah.
He also says that every part has a bit of your essence in it.
Mm-hmm.
So each part has a sacred core, and that's what we just discovered.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love how they talk about in IFS, there's always a positive intention underneath everybody's behaviors, everything that you do, because every part, there's no wrongness in our parts. They're just acting in ways that they don't know how to do anything else with the intention. So if you look at it that way and you think, okay, what is this behavior that I'm doing? What is it trying to communicate to me? Because there is some positive intention there. It's protecting, or it's in deep pain. Then I can work with that. And if you can give it a voice, I think it takes a lot of practice.
It does. It's very weird in the beginning. You feel like, oh, I'm just making it up. This is total crap. Like, I'm just being a total weirdo.
Yeah.
That's another thing about that book, is he normalizes multiplicity. He just says, like, that's normal. We all have parts. Everyone has parts. That's just how it is. And I love that he just makes that normal.
Yeah. And for some people who struggle with parts and the idea, you can think of it, there's lots of ways. Like, if you Google, like, you know, parts work metaphors or whatever, because a lot of people are, like, more analytical. You can think of them like their feelings, their memories. Some people who are, like, really logical, I've read on Reddit, some people are like, I kind of think of it as, like, parts of my code, almost like scripts or, just ways, different ways to break it down. If you're finding it hard to do that, like the picturing, like you go into that unconscious world he talks about. And I know how hard that is for some people. Some people are just like, I feel like I'm just telling the therapist what they want to hear. So there's ways that you can do parts work, even if you find it really, really hard.
There's also parts that block the part work.
That's true too. And then it gets really confusing. You have to figure out what's coming up there. Can we see if we can figure out what part is talking?
Yeah. You know, my partner Will for a long time was like, I don't have parts and I don't like the idea of it. And no. And then slowly he started to realize, okay, he does have parts. So he had a part that was like, there's no parts.
Yeah.
I just love you so much.
Thank you.
I feel so 100% safe with you. You guys, I met Kara through the internet. She contacted me and said, I think we should do a podcast together. Would you be willing to meet me? And then we met, and like, now we're in love.
I know. It's because I watched so many of your videos and I just knew. I can't explain it. I just knew you had some of the same parts.
Well, that's how I feel about Gabor Mate, but that doesn't mean he's going to become my best friend.
That's true.
This has been Your Kids Don't Suck. You can find me, Kara Tedstone, at www.caratedstonetherapy.com and on Instagram at caratedstonetherapy. On my website, you'll find links to recommended readings and a link to my Reparenting with Mindfulness workbook, available now on Amazon.
You can find me, Rithia Lee, at www.rithia.com. That's RYTHEA.com. There you'll find published books, articles, and music and parenting videos. Also, I'm on TikTok at Rithia Lee, on Instagram at Rithia Lee. You can book parent mentoring sessions with me through my website. And also, I have an Advice from a Loving Bitch YouTube show that helps people heal self-hatred, and that's rithia.com/advice. It is important and essential to put our voices, Rithia and Kara, in a context. We are two white, cisgendered, straight, middle-class women living with financial and societal privilege. Because of this, our perspectives are limited and do not reflect the realities of all of our listeners. This podcast will feature guests with expertise around conscious parenting who differ in race, class, abilities, sexual orientation, and histories from us, to broaden the conversation and reflect the lives of as many people as possible. 25% of the proceeds of this podcast will go to creators of color who have been mentors and influences on our work and in our growth as parents.
If you like our show, please subscribe and stay tuned for more conscious parenting advice and insights. And check out our link tree at linktr.ee/yourkidsdontsuck to donate and connect with us.